This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus, and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by the lovely Aisha, and together we're going to talk about breastfeeding, the good, the bad and the sore nipples. Hi Aisha, it's lovely to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much, Holly. It's lovely to be here.
So am I right in saying you are the mummy to one child? Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, just the one for now, thankfully.
And is it a boy or a girl?
It is a girl, a beautiful girl.
And how old is she?
She is now 1 year old and 1 month, I believe. We recently did her first birthday.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you. Milestone moment.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the first birthday is more of a celebration for the parents of making it through the first year.
Oh, 100%. Definitely. You're right there, Holly. I think it was more a party to say that we'd survived the first year and baby was alive and well.
Yes, exactly. That, you know what, you've done a whole year of parenting. Congratulations. That's how what I did anyway. I celebrated.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about breastfeeding, the world of breastfeeding. And did you breastfeed your little one?
Yes. So I kind of knew that I wanted to breastfeed from the beginning.
Okay.
It was something I very much wanted to do. But I found that I was quite naive once I started breastfeeding. I don't think there's enough support out there with regards to how to breastfeed, how people can deal with issues that they come across. And that is mainly the reason why I set up my blog and I talk about my experiences.
Amazing. And I think you're right. There's it when you're a parent for the first time, the whole thing is brand new. And breastfeeding is something that is talked about so much, isn't it, from the very, very beginning?
Definitely, yes. There, I think there is a massive push for people to breastfeed because it is the best source of food for baby. It's very natural. But I think all that information is only ever given at the beginning. And once you give birth, it's just like, ooh, like you're all overwhelmed. There's a rush of emotions. And it's like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah, there's a lot to take in, isn't there? So at the very beginning, when you were pregnant, what made you decide to breastfeed? I know we are very much, you know, breast is best, and that is the advice that's given. But what made you decide that, right, okay, I want to breastfeed, that's my plan?
So basically, I come from a healthcare background. So I am a pharmacist by profession. And I often give advice with regards to breastfeeding, like you said, is the best, and I advise mums, and that was prior to me actually becoming a mum. So when I was pregnant, I did a lot of research myself. I read, surprisingly enough, some of the things on Emma's Diary and various other NHS and NICE guidelines. So I did know that, you know, I want to give breastfeeding a shot. To be honest, and this is going to sound either very strange to some mums, and to others it might sound like, hey, I can relate to that. I thought it was quite a weird concept, in the sense of so everyone in my family is much older than I am, so I'd never actually seen anyone breastfeed. It felt like a very private experience, and I just thought, oh, okay, like it's just something that mums do, I guess, when the time comes. And it seems simple enough. All the books make it out as if it's pretty simple. So I know why I should be doing it, i.e. there's huge benefits, i.e. we're talking, I was watching a documentary on Netflix about babies and breast milk recently. And what they were saying was, with regards to a mother's milk, it's tailor-made for that baby. So there'll be some babies that might need, for example, more vitamins or more fatty components, and the mother's milk will automatically make the perfect composition. Which is phenomenal.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's the human body is amazing.
Definitely. And also when a baby's ill, when the mother breastfeeds, the mother's body is given certain triggers. So the breast milk also has a greater amount of antibodies than that the baby receives. And that helps to boost the baby's immune system.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I think, like you said, we are kind of given this message, which is that, you know, we should breastfeed, or at least attempt to breastfeed, and that's the best kind of plan to have, isn't it? So what kind of made you decide that that was what you was going to do, that that was the plan you wanted to go with?
So that I went to the parent education classes that were recommended by my nurse or midwife. And again, there was a massive push to breastfeed, and there were the benefits explained, i.e. that you develop a very close bond with your baby and it's the most natural thing to do. So in my mind, it made complete sense, especially coming from a healthcare background. All the benefits to breastfeeding, i.e. the fact that it can strengthen the baby's immune system, they receive the perfect composition of milk. So I'm the type of person that wants to try and do the best at everything I can do. Even with my work, as a professional, I've tried to do the absolute maximum that I can to make sure that my patients are receiving the best service. So for me, if I can do that for patients, that is what I wanted to do for my own baby. And it was kind of seen as a challenge. So I thought, hey, I really want to give this a go because I believe that it's the best start that my baby can have, really.
Yeah, I know. And I think at the beginning, there's so much information, isn't there, that you take on. And the message is that breast is best. So I think most people at the very beginning feel like that's what they want to do or that's what they want to try and do, isn't it? Because you are told that's the best thing for your little one, really, and you don't really know what you're doing yet, do you? You just want to kind of do as you're told, really.
Yeah, you're completely right there. As a new mum, I think you're bombarded with that much information, and you have so many hormones going around your body at that moment in time that you're just kind of like, ooh, that's a lot to take in. I'll just do what everyone's telling me to do, and you kind of go with it. And that was kind of the situation that I was in myself, but also I knew of the benefits. And like you said, there is a massive push to breastfeed. And later on, I will go on about my experiences and how I came across a lot of difficulties in breastfeeding. But I think at this moment in time, I do want to throw in just a quick statement to say there will be some mums who actually can't breastfeed due to medical issues or whatever your situation is. And although breast is best and all the rest of it, I do feel for those mums because I've had some of those mums come to me. And I think it's unfair that they feel that they're being mum shamed or that they're going through a difficult patch. And it's not recognized that not everyone can or will be able to breastfeed. And that is still okay. It does not mean that, you know, you're a failure or you're not doing the best for your baby. I mean, at the end of the day, there's no one that knows a baby better than the mother. So don't feel bad. I mean, so long as your baby's well and healthy, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. Like, honestly, I literally wanted to clap as you were talking then, because I totally agree. I definitely agree, you know, that I understand that breast is best, but as long as the baby is fed and that you're doing the best that you can, then that's all that matters. I wasn't in a position to breastfeed, but in hindsight, you know, I did what I thought was best for my child. So I think that's a really great message to anyone listening, that if you can't breastfeed, you're unable to breastfeed, or you choose not to breastfeed, it doesn't make you a bad mum or a bad person. We're all doing the best we can. So I guess that kind of moves us on then to what was your experience with breastfeeding? We know that you'd planned to breastfeed. So when you had your little one, what happened?
Oh my goodness, where do I start? So my experience, I mean, I can tell you that for a fact, I thought about giving up breastfeeding probably once every couple of months, because it was that bad. And the caveat that I want to throw in is when you hear my story, please don't be put off. I think I had probably the worst case scenario that you can have. And not everyone will go through this. But the reason why I am sharing this story is because I think there's a false perception that breastfeeding is an easy option when I didn't think it was at all. And the more that I spoke to women and mums, I was finding, hey, I'm not the only one that struggled here. There are a lot of other people that struggled. So my story, basically, I had a second degree tear when I gave birth and I had stitches. And at that moment in time, and like I said, I don't want to sugarcoat things, so I will say it how it is.
Yeah, please do. everyone, you know, every pregnancy is different, every experience is different, but it's great to hear different experiences.
So basically I had just given birth and I basically felt like a soldier in the middle of a battlefield that was beaten and bruised. I was the most vulnerable that I had ever been. And then to completely oppose that, there was an emotion that was going around me where I felt like I was on top of the world. I felt elated. I'd given birth and my baby was healthy and fine. So it was such a mixture of emotions running through me. And I just kind of felt very, very overwhelmed at that moment in time. And basically, my baby then started crying. And I thought, okay, well, time to breastfeed. And it was the first time that I would be breastfeeding. So I thought, hey, this should be easy. It should be natural. I mean, all I have to do is put the baby's mouth near my breast and the baby will drink. I mean, come on. It can't be that difficult, surely.
Yeah, that's kind of the thought process, isn't it, at the very beginning? Like, you just have to put them on the boob and it should work, right?
And I mean, women have been doing this since the beginning of time with none of the facilities that we have today. So it has to be straightforward. And I can tell you that I couldn't be more wrong. So my baby would not latch on. Whatever angle of my nipple that I would put her on, it was like searching for a needle in the haystack. It just wasn't working. And I had various nurses and midwives come over to try to help me. And the thing that was really funny was, bless them, they'd all ask me, is it okay if we touch you? And I just thought, I'm sitting on the hospital bed with my boobs out, wearing nothing, wanting someone to just attach my baby. I have no problem with you trying to touch me to help me. Do whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
And thankfully, in the end, we managed to get there. And baby started to have a first drink. And it was just a very short drink because at that moment in time, her appetite was just like a little pea and her stomach's very small. So the milk that comes at the beginning is very concentrated and it's known as the colostrum, and it's full of fatty acids. So I kind of felt extremely relieved that baby was taking her first sip of milk and she was fine. And then after that, I had so many different health professionals come and teach me, and I say teach me in inverted commas, how to breastfeed using diagrams and a dummy. And I basically felt like an adult in a children's classroom just because I already knew all the theory. But in practice, something just wasn't quite working. But I wasn't prepared to give up. I knew it was something I really wanted. And eventually, as the saying goes, practice makes perfect. So I definitely wasn't perfect, I can tell you that. But my daughter was managing to latch on and drink. And I was discharged from hospital. And just at that moment in time when I was discharged, I felt on top of the world because I'd managed to kind of figure out breastfeeding. And I knew that my daughter was receiving the sustenance that she needed. And basically, I felt like I needed to do cartwheels in the middle of the hospital car park if I could.
I was going to say, if you could have done, I would have been like, do it.
I mean, do you know what you are given? For me, I was given pain relief in hospital. So the first day when I was discharged, I thought I could do anything. I thought I was invincible. It was great.
And then the medication wears off, right?
Oh my goodness, yes. And as a pharmacist, you would think that I know that. Because I counsel patients on a daily basis. But in practice, it's so different. I don't think anything can prepare you for motherhood. Whatever profession you come from, however difficult that profession may be, or whatever you do in your daily life, motherhood is just a whole new different game.
It really is. And there's so many parts to it. That's the thing. It's a game with so many aspects to it that just as you think you've got one covered, it's like, hold on a second, there's a new task here, there's a new chapter. So you left hospital, and then how did your breastfeeding journey continue once you got home?
So basically, at the beginning, again, I think my daughter, because I was given certain injections when I was giving birth, I think she was quite dozy at the beginning as well. So I think she was perfect at the beginning. She was a little dream, probably due to the pain relief as well. So she would drink and latch very well and then fall asleep for like 3 to 4 hours. That's That's not necessarily normal, by the way. Not all babies will do that. So please don't worry if your baby doesn't sleep for 3 to 4 hours. All newborns differ. And everything was pretty much going well. I had the new mum glow and I felt like a happy-ish walking, talking, breastfeeding zombie.
Definitely.
I mean, the waking up at night, I wasn't used to. I had a set routine where I would have 8 hours of sleep beforehand, go to the gym, go to work. So once you have a baby, there's no routine.
Absolutely. It's completely thrown in the air and your day is ruled by your baby, isn't it?
100%. And it gets better because 3 days later, when letdown happens, i.e. the milk starts to come into your breast and your breasts feel fuller, I was leaking everywhere, as in I couldn't wear breast pads. At night, I was sleeping with a towel over me just to absorb some of the milk. I mean, these are all the unglamorous confessions. If you hear the worst case scenario, if something happens, at least you'll think, hey, it wasn't as bad as Aisha's experience.
Just keep listening to this podcast over and over again.
I mean, I was a professional that wore makeup to work. My shoes were matching. My clothes were matching. And now I was literally living in PJs, the most comfortable clothes I could find, no makeup in sight. It was a miracle if I managed to just brush my hair and do a simple ponytail. And that was an achievement.
Yeah, I totally relate. I mean, I didn't breastfeed, and even I was like that as well. And that's without the added, you know, pressure and time of breastfeeding. And I still didn't get dressed and didn't brush my hair. So I think that's just a new mum thing, to be honest.
You know what? It doesn't matter if you breastfeed or you don't breastfeed. Both have their pluses and minuses, i.e. if you're not breastfeeding, you still have to make up bottles of milk at night. And that still requires time and effort. So it still means you're not getting your sleep. And a baby won't drink that bottle of milk by itself, supporting the bottle in its own hands. Baby's too small, so you still have to stay awake.
Exactly. There are definitely pros and cons to everything. And whatever decision you make, or our listeners make, you know, you have to do what's right for you, isn't it? That's the main thing. So when you got home, and I know you said that the milk started coming through, how was the rest of your breastfeeding journey? Did that go to plan? Did that work for you?
No, nothing went to plan. So I envisaged this perfect journey of me feeding baby, sat on a very comfortable chair, watching Netflix, having my popcorn nearby, my husband doing all the housework, and that was the life.
Dream, yeah, absolute dream.
Let me tell you, that is not what happened at all. So within the first week, my nipples were extremely sore, and I felt like a mess. I continued to breastfeed through this, but it was feeling more and more difficult as time was going on. And the health visitors paid me a visit. She checked my attachment and advised that I use pillows to prop up baby, so baby was level with my breast, especially when I was sitting down. I did have a nursing pillow, so I was trying to use that as much as I could. But the pain that I was experiencing was just going from bad to worse. And if I fast forward 2 weeks from that point, I was bleeding from my nipples and they were cracked. And unfortunately, I wasn't enjoying the experience. And it was taking a bit of a toll on my mental health. And as a pharmacist, I would credit myself in remaining composed, being able to handle tough patients or situations. But as a mum with hormones rushing around, I think probably in a week, I cried 4 times in a row over completely random things. Like, I remember on one occasion, I was feeding my baby and I just thought, what about all those babies that don't have parents, or they're orphans, or they go through a difficult situation? And that just set me off and I was just crying and crying. But luckily, I did have a very supportive husband and my mum. So having people around you that can provide you with that positive support really does make a difference.
With your, where we got to the bit about the kind of sore boobs, and that was a real down point for you, a real difficult point. How did you stop breastfeeding at that point, or what happened after that?
So basically, like I mentioned, I was going through quite a bit. And it got to a stage where I was taking the maximum amount of paracetamol and ibuprofen that I could be taking that was safe for baby as well. And I found every time I was breastfeeding, I was literally clenching my teeth and curling my toes with the amount of pain that I was in. And that's when I kind of thought that there's definitely something wrong here. My boobs feel extremely sore. This surely can't be normal. I mean, I thought birth was difficult, but breastfeeding can't be this difficult. I've done something wrong, or this just is a wake-up call for me or a red flag to say you need help. And it's at that point that I actually went to my doctor or my GP. And again, she was fantastic. So she had a feel around, and she said, it's clear that you've got mastitis. And she said, you know, you clearly have a lump on your breast. Now, what's bizarre is I couldn't see or feel this lump. And I didn't have some of the typical symptoms of mastitis, which we might cover later on. But she gave me a prescription for some antibiotics. And as soon as I'd walked out of the doctor's surgery, again, that was a point, even though it sounds so wrong, where I wanted to jump for joy. Because finally, I knew that it wasn't me. I thought I was going crazy and that I was being soft and that I just couldn't handle breastfeeding and I wanted to give it up. Whereas in reality, I was actually suffering from a painful bacterial infection. And the plus point of that was I took the antibiotics. Unfortunately, my daughter's stomach went a bit haywire in the sense of she developed, I wouldn't say diarrhea, but it was pretty close. But we managed to deal with that. And a week went by, but I was still in pain to the extent where I still couldn't fasten the hooks on the back of my bra. And it was quite painful to have anything, even just material, touching my nipples. Sorry again if this is too much information.
No, keep bringing it. No, bring it. We want to hear it.
But yeah, I just want to give you one of possibly the worst case scenarios that you'll see, so you'll feel better prepared. And hopefully you have to go through nothing like this. But if you do, you can possibly come back and think, oh yeah, I'm not the only one. There have been other people that have been through this process and they got out the other side and they were okay. And hey, if I can do this, there are so many braver, stronger, more well-equipped women listening to this podcast who will definitely be able to do it. That's for sure something that I believe in. So the GP then referred me to a consultant. And the consultant felt around and she said that I had an abscess that needed draining. And at that moment, again, I should have probably been like, oh my goodness, what on earth am I getting myself into? I am definitely giving up breastfeeding. But it just kind of added fuel to the fire. And in my head, I was like, hey, this isn't me. This is another thing that has gone wrong that has nothing to do with me. And at least now I know what's wrong. So she took some pus from the abscess, gave me another course of antibiotics, and sent me home. And luckily, that second course of antibiotics started to make a difference. And I'd say around a month went by when things had calmed down. I was starting to enjoy the breastfeeding journey. It felt as though I could finally watch some TV or Netflix whilst I'm breastfeeding and not have to worry about any pain. But fast forward to around when my baby was 2 months, I started again to experience a mild discomfort and pain. But this time the difference was I knew that I had to get help straight away. So I went back to the GP. She straight away referred me to the consultant and the hospital and said, I'm not taking any chances. This time around, you need to go straight to the hospital. So that same day, I was quite adamant to go as soon as. And my mum was like, Aisha, we have been through this before. What we're going to do is we're going to go home. We're going to have a nice cup of tea. We're going to get a few snacks. We're going to get ourselves prepared. And then we're going to go to hospital because we might be there all day.
I love that advice. Let's go home and have a cup of tea first.
And you know what? That is my mum. She's very matter of fact. She's a high school teacher. So she's a no-nonsense lady. And she's quite practical.
Amazing. It sounds like it. I mean, the fact she's offered you a cup of tea at that kind of time, I think is amazing. But again, it highlights sometimes the importance of letting people help you, doesn't it?
100%, yes. I was quite lucky in the sense of I had a lot of support. But what I will say is I'm not someone who's used to taking help. So at the beginning, when people were saying, oh, do you want us to wash your plates for you, or put them in the dishwasher, or clean up the house? There was a hesitance because I thought, does that mean that I can't cope? I wouldn't normally let anyone do the chores. Like, I can normally do everything. And there's a hang up, I think, sometimes that we have as women, where we want to prove that we've got everything under control. But being a mom is the only time where people will offer you some sort of help, or an offer to, I don't know, hoover up, take it. Take any and every amount of help that will come your way, because this is a very, very special time for you and your baby, and you're allowed to ask for help. It is totally okay.
Absolutely. And I always say, take them up on that offer, because they probably won't ask again. You know, when the baby's here, they won't want to do the washing up or the hoovering then. So, you know, or when the baby's a bit older. So take all the help you can when you're pregnant or when you're a new mum. Absolutely. So when, I just want to know what happened with the rest of the story. When you got to, so you had to go to the hospital for the second time. What happened in that case? And then did you continue breastfeeding?
Okay, so when we went to hospital for the second time with our goodies all packed.
And your cup of tea already had, yes.
And what's fantastic about hospital that I would want to say to any breastfeeding mum that has to go to hospital, because I wasn't expressing at that time and baby's only source of food was still me. We had to take baby with us. And I kind of felt uncomfortable breastfeeding in a waiting room full of people. So my mum asked the receptionist if we could go to a bit of a private area, and they gave us a completely empty room all to ourselves where we could even close the door. And that made a huge difference, because A, I could breastfeed in privacy, and B, it allowed me to calm down. And it takes away the hospital environment, because it was a really nice room with a few chairs and magazines and water. So do ask for a specific area if you ever find yourself in that type of a situation. But yeah, so the consultant saw me. They performed an ultrasound on my breasts. I didn't know you could do that. Prior to that, I thought ultrasounds were only reserved for the beautiful pregnancy scans. But hey, I was proven wrong. And the consultant had a feel. And he just said that it looks as though you've got extremely sensitive breasts. There's nothing as such that has come up in the ultrasound. And we don't think you have mastitis. But what we would say is, due to your extra sensitive nipples, that's probably what is causing all the issues. So I discussed various options with the consultant and how I could prevent mastitis from happening again. And basically, I asked him about nipple shields at that point, just so that my breasts would get the chance to heal. Now, I know health visitors and certain healthcare professionals aren't a massive fan of them. But what the consultant did say to me is, they don't hinder milk supply. And the ones that I had were just available from Asda. They weren't extremely expensive, and they were made out of a very thin plastic material. And that, for me, that was my saving grace, because that allowed me to breastfeed. Until now, I'm still breastfeeding my daughter, and she's a year old. The nipple shield, I probably stopped around 2 to 3 months later. And basically, the consultant just sent me home. I continued to breastfeed, but continued to take pain relief. And I just tried to be as careful as I could with my attachment of baby. And honestly, it got easier after that. I had no other trips to the doctors. And I can honestly say, after around 6 months, I started to enjoy breastfeeding, as in truly enjoy breastfeeding, where like I would look down at my baby and she would give me an adorable smile full of love. And any time that she would see it's coming to food time, and she saw me unhooking my nursing bra, she would have the most excited expression. I'm sure you mums will definitely get a chance to experience it. And it is a beautiful moment, one that is definitely very funny as well. So that is where I am at today. I had a lot of hurdles to overcome, but I would happily go back and do that all over again, if it meant that I could breastfeed, because for me, the bond that it has created between me and my daughter, I think it's priceless. And it's something that I had to do. That was just a personal choice. And whether you choose to breastfeed or you choose to formula feed, that is a decision that is completely up to yourself. But what I do want to say is, if there are issues that come up, A, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And B, explore your options if you don't want to give up breastfeeding. So there is the option of mixed feeding, i.e. you could possibly express and give the baby milk in a bottle. A partner might be able to take up the night feed or one of the night feeds to give you a bit of a break. Or then some people can even formula feed and breastfeed, depending on what works for you.
Amazing. I think I was going to ask you, actually, do you have any tips for new parents? And I think you've given us some real great information that parents can kind of, or new parents or pregnant women can kind of take away with them and kind of put in place, and to realize that actually, you know, while they may want to breastfeed, it isn't the only option. There are other things that they can consider. But do you have any other tips, practical advice that you can think of that might help our new mums at the moment who might be struggling with breastfeeding?
Yeah, of course. So the first thing is, believe in yourself. You can do this. You are stronger than you think. Believe me, a woman is phenomenal. We give birth and then breastfeeding is the next big hurdle. What I would say to those that are currently just starting breastfeeding, just make sure you constantly have a bottle of water beside you, because it's a very thirsty job. Also keep some snacks around you, and try and get as comfortable as you can, because sometimes breastfeeding sessions, especially in a newborn, can last a very long time. As in, we're talking sometimes it might just be a few minutes, or sometimes it might even be up to an hour. And that is completely normal and completely fine. I know a lot of mums also struggle with regards to how do they know when their baby's full. I mean, your breasts don't really come with measurements on the side that show you how much your baby's drinking.
Unfortunately.
I mean, it would be handy if they did. So that's something that we will never be able to rely on as a tool. But what you will find is with breastfeeding, once the baby has drunk enough, they will automatically come off, or they might fall asleep at the breast. And that means that they're pretty much full. With breastfeeding, you can't overfeed a baby. So feed them as often and when they need it. And that's known as responsive feeding. And that's completely normal and fine for babies to do. I know a lot of people worry about, ooh, do I need to time how long my baby's drinking for, how often my baby's drinking? With breastfeeding, it takes that kind of that worry out of your mind, because you know that the baby can feed whenever, wherever, for however long it takes. But if there's anything you're unsure about, always ask the health visitor and ignore people's comments. People will start questioning you about, oh, is it normal for your baby to be feeding this much? Or is it normal for you to feed for such a long period of time? If you're getting those kind of comments, just brush them to a side. Often people don't know a lot about breastfeeding, and that's why they're asking those type of questions.
Absolutely. I think they usually come from people that maybe haven't gone through it, haven't experienced.
Definitely.
It's usually not a negative comment. It's usually just that people don't know. But you're totally right. Number one, always seek advice if you're struggling, get some help. And if you're getting a lot of negative comments, and then do just brush them off. You know, they don't have an impact on you, you know, kind of just let them park themselves away. Would you mind me asking, how do you feel about breastfeeding in public?
Okay, so I know that's probably a bit of a difficult topic for new mums. With me and breastfeeding in public, for some mums, it's a situation where they have no problem unbuttoning their blouse and feeding baby, and that's totally fine. Hats off to those mums. Personally, I wasn't comfortable with that scenario. So I actually invested in a breastfeeding cover. And at the beginning, as a new mum, you tend to overthink a lot of things. So I remember the first time I was heading out with baby, I was going through a list of, okay, I've got this, and I've got my breastfeeding cover and extra nappies, extra change of clothes. And it felt quite daunting. What I will say is it does get easier the more you go through the scenario. So for the first time that you're going out in public with baby and you want to breastfeed, maybe pick a place that you're familiar with, that you know maybe won't be as busy. and possibly feed baby before you leave the house, just so you feel comfortable your breasts aren't extremely full or leaking. And then once you head out, say for example you go to a park or you go to a shopping center, find a quiet place when you think your baby might want to feed. So not when they're screaming and they're extremely hungry, but when they're starting to complain a bit and you think that they might want to feed soon. And prepare yourself. So take out a breastfeeding cover or just find a little secluded place, whatever you feel comfortable with. And take out your snack, your water, and then position yourself. Maybe open up the blouse and the bra and then slide the baby underneath the cover if you have a cover, and just attach the baby on. Sometimes it helps to have someone with you because they can always give you a hand or pass you something if you need something. And believe me, the more times you go through the process, it will get easier. And then you'll become a pro. So I remember when my daughter was around 7 months and I was weaning her onto food, we had an art baby session. In my head, I thought, so we're going to have lunchtime. I'll have to pack her food in a container, her bib, wipes to wipe her mouth with, her cup for water, take a bottle of water. And I was going through all the things that I would need. And I thought, how am I going to carry all these things and tidy them away? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take my breastfeeding cover and I'll take me. And there we go. She can have milk for lunch and then she can have her food when she comes home.
Amazing. And I think, you know, you can be prepared as you want to be, can't you? But, you know, sometimes you just have to think logically, think about what you really need, try to not get too stressed out about situations. And like you said, a really good tip, I think, is just to start slowly, whether that's, you, like you said, you go to a friend's house or you go to a quiet park. If you're planning to breastfeed in public, just take your time and do whatever you feel comfortable with.
Definitely.
And it is hard, I think, you know, to worry. It's hard to not worry about other people's perceptions. I feel like that's a lot to do with it as well.
So, Holly, you've hit the nail on the head there, definitely. We do overthink as mums. I remember some of my first encounters, I'd always think, oh, my baby's crying. People are going to think, why is my baby crying so much? And is this mum not able to quieten the baby? And all those thoughts go through your head. And now my one-year-old, I can't keep her quiet. Doesn't necessarily mean she's crying. Sometimes she's just excited and talking. But you kind of learn from those experiences, and usually other people don't often care. They're too busy in their own world. It's just those little hang-ups you have as a mom. So definitely try not to worry.
Absolutely. I think everything you said has been really, really, really insightful and so helpful for new mums or women who are starting their breastfeeding journey. So thank you so much for all the information you've given us.
Thank you for having me, Holly. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Is there anything within your breastfeeding journey or anything that we haven't touched on that you think you'd like to share before we go?
What I would say is, if you ever feel that there is something that isn't going quite right or you're in a bit of pain, get help. For me, NHS Choices was a fantastic resource. So anytime I thought I had certain symptoms, for example, my breasts felt red or tender, I just Google my symptoms, and NHS Choices is evidence-based. So doctors, pharmacists, etc. also use NHS guidelines. So just Google NHS Choices and the symptoms you have, and that should bring up whatever the condition may be. Also, for any extra tips or advice on how to breastfeed, anything that could go wrong, you could always have a look on my blog.
Amazing. And what's your blog? Could you let us know where we can find you?
Of course I can. So if you type into your web browser www.lifeofamum.co.uk, you would come up with my blog, and my Instagram account is lifeof_amum.
Amazing, Aisha. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. And I feel like I want to have another baby just so I can give breastfeeding a go again.
Oh, Holly, if you have another baby and you need any help at all, you know where I am. I would be honoured to help you out.
Oh, thank you.
But I don't think you need any help. I mean, from the sounds of it, you sound like a professional already.
Well, we don't need to worry because I'm probably not having another child.
Hey, that's what they all say.
I know. Oh, thank you so much, Aisha. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for your time. And good luck, ladies, with everything. I hope it goes well.
Thanks, Aisha. Take care.
You too. Bye.
For ongoing support and advice on everything from pregnancy to the toddler years, visit emmasdiary.co.uk or download the Emma's Diary app, available on Apple Store and Google Play Store.